Lesson 26, Killing the Witnesses. This lesson begins on page 189 of your book. This audio text version contains the reading of any listed footnotes. Have you ever noticed that the first thing a criminal enterprise does, when trying to cover its tracks, is to kill any witnesses? By silencing those who know the truth, they believe their crimes will remain hidden. In the case of the Antichrist, he can't fulfill the role promised to him by Satan, until the two witnesses are gone. God will appoint them as the two olive trees, and the two lampstands. Footnote number 164, Revelation, chapter 11, verse 4. These are the two olive trees and two lampstands, that stand before the Lord of the earth. End of footnote. Their job is to keep him away from the temple. John describes them as olive trees. The Greek word for trees is elaia, and means they will both be trees, from Hebrew stock. The analogy is simple: no man can move a large tree. And someone who deals in darkness cannot risk going near a lampstand. The Antichrist will be filled with desire to fulfill the messianic prophecies. Then, just like now, most Jews will still reject Jesus as Messiah. They will still be waiting. The Antichrist will believe Satan's lie that he is the long-awaited anointed one, for whom the nation of Israel has been waiting. But he knows his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and the Temple Mount cannot occur before the two witnesses are gone. One of the reasons God placed them there is to prevent the Antichrist from entering the temple prematurely. For the entire time of their ministry, the two men will be given power to totally disrupt the activities of the men aligned with Satan and his purposes. The two witnesses, the Bible says, will have broad miraculous powers to protect their ground. They will be given the ability to have fire flow from their mouths, which will be used to kill anyone who tries to harm them. They will have powers to stop the rain, turn water into blood, and strike the earth with plagues, as often as they wish. Footnote number 165, Revelation, chapter 11, verses 5 through 6. Scripture states, they will be there for 1260 days. But both the Antichrist and Satan can read Scripture, so they know they'll successfully wage war with them. Footnote number 166, Revelation, chapter 11, verse 7. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them, and overcome them, and kill them. End of footnote. The mention of his having come up out of the abyss in the verse is proof that the Antichrist will be indwelt, having a satanic source, which will heavily influence his character. So, rather than go near the temple and risk being outed by the two prophets of God preaching on the Temple Mount, the Antichrist will stay away, dealing with other matters as he bides his time. The template Jesus created via his actions during Holy Week gives us information about what the Antichrist is destined to do during his entry into Jerusalem. We will use the steps of Jesus as prophecy for what the Antichrist can be expected to do. We begin on Friday, June 5, 2037. This is the day the Antichrist will enter Jerusalem and the temple. This action matches the day Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. On this day, the Antichrist will know that the timing for the two witnesses will be up. Footnote number 167, Revelation, chapter 11, verse 3. And I will appoint my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. End of footnote. All he'll do is add 1260 days to the date they appeared, to know the day he will be allowed to kill them. Up to this point in time, they will have been essentially bulletproof. Footnote number 168, Revelation, chapter 11, verse 5. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire flows out of their mouth and devours their enemies, so if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. End of footnote. Prophecy defined as truth as God always makes good on his word. Jesus arrived into Jerusalem, and the Temple Mount, to the cheering of a large crowd. They were crying out, "Hail Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Footnote number 169. John, chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. So it will be, for the Antichrist as well. The crowds are quoting from the book of Psalms. Footnote number 170, Psalms, chapter 118, verse 26. The phrase itself is quite interesting. The word Hosanna is derived from the Aramaic word, Hoosia, and is an uttered prayer that literally means, "Save me." It's an actual cry out for divine help. It only appears 5 times in Scripture, and each occurrence is with Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. The Antichrist will plan an enormous celebration for the day of his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and the temple. For the moment, he will appear to have triumphed over God. To set the stage, the forces of the Antichrist will arrive at the place where the two witnesses are preaching that fateful day. By prophecy, God is going to then allow them the power to kill the witnesses. The supporters of the Antichrist will demand their bodies remain in the street for the entire world to see. They will not permit them to be buried. Footnote number 171, Revelation, chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. And their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days, and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. End of footnote. It's now time for the fake Messiah to triumphantly enter Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. The next morning, people will be lining his entry route into the temple, and will lavish further praise and admiration upon him. And, just as Jesus did, the Antichrist will enter the temple with his lieutenants, and have a look around. But, unlike Christ, the man known as the Antichrist will not enter the city via the Golden Gate. The prophet Ezekiel is very specific: the Golden Gate, leading outward from the sanctuary facing east, will remain shut until Christ himself returns at his second coming. Footnote number 172, Ezekiel, chapter 44, verses 1 and 2. Then the man brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, the one facing east, and it was shut. The Lord said to me, "This gate is to remain shut. It must not be opened, no one may enter through it. It is to remain shut because the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered through it." End of footnote. While the Antichrist will be allowed to do some things which Christ did, a few events remain permanently off limits for him. I am only speculating, but I believe part of the witnesses' tasks will be to prevent the Antichrist from entering the temple through this gate. It would require significant time to remove the stones currently blocking the gate, relocate the cemetery lying directly in front of it, etc. If the witnesses are blocking access to the site, then no work could be done. So, if the Antichrist, driven by Satan, is eager to set up an idol inside the Holy of Holies, then he will have to make plans to enter one of the other 7 remaining gates into the city. I believe the Antichrist will enter the city via the Lion's Gate. It's the only other eastern-facing gate into the old city of Jerusalem. It also faces the Kidron Valley and the Mount of Olives. I believe it's significant. The Antichrist will travel first through the Muslim quarter of the city in his procession to the Temple Mount. This is a key component to the religion Satan will make most use of in the end of days. The coming rampant beheading of the infidels is a key characteristic we can watch for in the coming days. After entering the temple, Jesus and his disciples spent some time looking around. The crowd was abuzz with discussion of the arrival of the long-awaited Messiah. Some were telling of the miracles they'd seen him do. Others were relaying stories of what they'd heard he did. the religious elite were working the crowd, doing their best to deny Jesus was the Messiah. They rejected Jesus as such. But they will be doing their best to tell the crowd that this impostor is indeed the long-awaited Messiah. The irony of the situation is remarkable. The religious elite will now be advocating for an impostor, just as the Bible predicts. That will be their message: the Messiah has arrived. This time, it will be the people themselves who will not be so sure. They will harbor doubts. The Antichrist will end the day well, following what Satan sure is his first victory over God. There will be no denying, Unholy Week had officially begun. As we continue to discuss the dealings of the Antichrist over the coming week, there needs to be one theme placed at the forefront of your mind. Satan is the archenemy of God. He wants only to destroy the whole of mankind, beginning with the Jews. Everything we discuss about the Antichrist must be viewed through this filter. Just remember what Adolf Hitler attempted to do. Satan nearly succeeded wiping out the Jewish remnant. In fact, it wasn't until 60 years after World War II, before the worldwide population of Jews grew larger than the total in 1941. Satan is going to use the Antichrist to try and wipe out God's chosen race one more time. He will once again fail. But, like in the dark days of World War II, he will succeed in killing 50% of the nation of Israel. Lesson 26, Questions for Discussion. Question 1, How will Satan know the duration God's two witnesses will be around the Temple Mount? Question 2, Why will the Antichrist want to kill them? List 3 reasons. Question 3, Why will the Antichrist not enter through the Golden Gate? Explain your answer. Question 4, What is the meaning of the word Hosanna? Question 5, List the powers of the two witnesses. How will this stop the Antichrist from entering the temple? When you're ready, you can proceed on to Lesson 27, Cursing Israel. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button on your browser to return to the page with the Chapter 6 lessons. Then move on to Lesson 27, Cursing Israel. Click on the blue box to hear the lesson with all footnotes read aloud. Click on the green box to hear the version without them. If you're using an audio player along with the thumb drive to listen to the book, it will automatically sequence to the next lesson. If you wish to stop play, just hit pause or stop. As long as you keep the thumb drive in the player, it will remember your place when you resume listening. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for Lesson 27, labeled 6.27, Cursing Israel, to hear the next lesson.